Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Pei Ches. We're learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas Gussie Mason, Gutta Bas Moshe Halevi. All the Nishamas we learned for should have been from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of Tzahal. They should be successful in all of their endeavors. They should wipe out the Rishayim. They should bring back the Chatufim in good health, Bimheira, and Be'ezes Hashem, they should be Shalom Ayisrael. Okay, we pick up the Gemara on Daf Pei Ches Amar Aleph at the two dots. Three lines from the top, four lines from the top, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Achovel be eved kinani shalachayim chayav v'chulei." So the v'chulei is critically important over here. The Tanakhama held that if a person were to go and do damage to an eved kinani that belonged to somebody else, so he's chayav in all of the five types of damages: the nezik, tzari, pushevis, and boshes. Now, the critical point that the Tanakhama disagrees with Rav Yehuda is the Tanakhama says he's chayav for all five, including boshes. Rav Yehuda Omer, in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda said, I agree with you in the first four. However, ein la'avodim boshes. Rav Yehuda said, I disagree with you in regards to the boshes. There is no boshes payment that you pay to an Eved Kenani. Now, what's going on? We don't have to explain the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama is telling us, yeah, there is boshes. Just like there's the other four penalties, there's boshes too. After all, you can embarrass the Eved Kenani. So why would he not get boshes in addition to the payments for the other types of damage? Now, of course, it goes to the owner, but there should be payments for all five. Tanakhama makes very good sense. My time with Rav Yehuda, the Gemara starts off and asks, why does Rav Yehuda say there is no penalty for boshes for the Eved? So this is all going to be based upon Pesukim. Rav Yehuda says as follows, on my kra, the Pasuk tells us, ki yinotsu anashim yachtov ish v'achiv, then the Pasuk continues, v'korva eshes ho'echod la'atzil es isha. So two men are fighting, and the wife of the man who's losing goes to the man who's beating up her husband, and she grabs him in the genital area and embarrasses him. So in this situation, the Pasuk tells us that the payment is only for somebody who's ish v'achiv. Rabbi Yehuda darshins the Pasuk, ki yinatsu anashim yachtov ish v'achiv. It's only in the case where the two people, the one who embarrasses and the one who's embarrassed, are both achim. They both have the potential to be achim. B'mishyesh achva. Yotza evit she'ein lo achva. And as opposed to an evit that doesn't have achva. Tosus explains, why doesn't the evit have achva? Top Tosus says, Pirish, en yotze chalutzav kuruyin achim. His children aren't considered your brothers. As opposed to mashe'eke megar, as opposed to a convert, biyotze mechalutzav rotze ha'kunfris lefarish. So the children that come from him are in fact roy, lovel, or kol, and are in fact considered your achim. So that's the difference between a ger and an eved. But an eved kinani is not considered your brother, according to Yehuda, and therefore this pasuk, which teaches us the din of busha, of the boshes penalty, from the fact that it says, shalcha yodav herziko bimivushav, as we brought down the additions to the Mishnah yesterday. So therefore, it is only for somebody who is your ach. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, the Chachamim disagree with that drasha. And the Gemara now explains, the Rabbanim, what do they do with that? Achiv hu b'mitzos. No, they say he has to be achiv, at least in some of the mitzos. And Eved Kenani is mechuyav b'mitzos ke'isha. So therefore, he is considered your ach, and therefore the din of boshes applies to the Eved Kenani as well. Now the Gemara says, El Meyata, based upon Rabbi Yehuda's drasha, that achiv excludes an Eved Kenani, so then achiv is also used in regards to the din of Edim Zomimin. So, according to this, Elamayato, L'Rav Yehuda, Zomne Eved Lo Yarogu. So then, if you have, as Rashi tells us, Edim Shechivuhu Misas Beistin, you have Edim to come along and say that this Eved is Chayav Misas Beistin. And Vinimtsu Zomim, and it turns out that they were Edim Zomim. The Eved, they claimed, did whatever he did. He killed somebody on Monday at 10 o'clock, and they said, no, Imano Yisim, Edim Zomim come along and say that those two witnesses said that they saw the Eved kill somebody at 10 o'clock on Monday morning in New York. No, you were there in Philadelphia at that time, and therefore, Imano Yisim, the Torah gave the believability to the pair of witnesses come along and say, Imano Yisim, and therefore, according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, we should in fact not go and make these Edim Zomim be killed. even though they tried to kill the Eved, kasher zomun lasos. So according to this, you shouldn't go and kill them. However, that's not the halacha. According to you, based upon this drasha of achim, so zom the Eved lo yagu, because d'chsiv asis lo kasher zomun lasos liochiv, because it says that you should do to the Eved zomun what they tried to do to their brother. But you're saying now the Eved Kanani is not a brother, and therefore in this situation, we shouldn't kill the Eved zomun for trying to go and kill this Eved. But that's not the halacha. In fact, the halacha is, as Rashi points out, continuing that Rashi, Amo Kimlon, the Eved Ki Yisrael, Linyan Mises Basin, that we do in fact give the Eved Knani Mises Basin if he deserves it, and therefore the Edim who tried to give him Mises Basin are in fact going to be killed. That there would be a punishment over here that would give Malkus, would even give Mises Basin to these Edim Zomimim. So therefore, how can you tell us, Rav Yehuda, because it says the word Ochiv, that that's why we exclude the Eved Kenani from the din of Boshes? So it also says Ochiv in regards to Edim Zomim, Kasher Zomim Lasos Liochiv. So we should exclude the Eved Kenani from the din of Edim Zomim. But that's not true. That's not the halacha. So Kasher on Rav Yehuda. So Amar Rav Sheshes. The Rav tells us the name of Rav Sheshes. No. Read the, continue reading that pasuk. It says Vasisimo Kasher Zomim Lasos Liochiv. So there's an additional part of the pasuk. That tells us that we have to go and wipe out ra, evil, wherever it is in our midst. And therefore, in this situation, even though the word lochiv would have excluded the Eved Kenani from Eved Zomim, but then the pasuk says uviyarto ra mikabecha comes to go and include the Eved Kenani in this din, and therefore Eved Zomim would apply even to an Eved Kenani who is not ochiv. Okay, Gemara says elamiyata. Now we have a question on the chacham shita that we don't exclude an Eved from the din of boshes. So therefore, if an Eved is considered ochiv, that's the opinion of the Chachamim. So then, how come Elam Yatel Rabbanon Eved Yei Kosher L'Malchus? Why don't we say that an Eved should be Kosher L'Malchus? After all, the pasuk tells us Som Tosim Olecha Melech Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha Bo Mikerav Achecha, has to be from amidst your brothers. And if you're telling me that an Eved Kenani is considered Ochiv in regards to the din of Boshes, so then he should be considered eligible to be a king. So Eved Yei Kosher L'Malchus. But of course, that's not the halacha. An Eved is not allowed to be a Melech. So Gemara says, Amri, wait a second. So what are you going to say? Ulutamech. So then, tikshe loch ger l'divrei kol. So everybody agrees that a ger is ochiv. So then a ger should also be allowed to be a melech. But that's not the halacha. Elo amar kra mikerav achecha. The pasuk tells us an extra word. It says mikerav achecha. The pasuk could have said, som tisim olecha melech asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo achecha. He has to be from achecha. Why does it say mikerav achecha? The X word mikerav achecha comes to exclude even people that are considered achecha. But it comes to say, kra mikerav achecha means mimuvchar shebi achecha. It means from the most special of your brothers. And therefore, not only does it exclude an Eved Kenani, it even excludes a ger. So the din is that a ger can't be a melech, can't even take certain positions of sarara. And certainly an Eved Kenani cannot as well. And therefore, that is what Mikarav Achecha comes to teach us. However, the Eved Kenani does have the status of Achicha, and certainly the Ger has the status of Achicha in regards to other dinim. It's only in regards to Melech that he's not considered Mikarav Achecha, Mimuvchar Shebachecha. Try again, Elabayatel Rabbanon. Again, another kash on the Rabbanon sheet that it says that an Eved Kenani is included in the words of Achicha. So then, ye Eved Koshel Yedus, that an Eved should be allowed to go and give testimony. After all, the pasuk says, Dechsiv, Fine Eid Sheker Ha'ed, Sheker Ono Biyochiv. So therefore, he is included in Achiv, so then an Eved Kenani should be perfectly permissible to go and give testimony. But of course, that's not the halacha. An Eved Kenani cannot go and give Eidus. So Amar Ula says, Eidus lo matzis amis. No, there's no way you can say that the Eved should be permissible to go give Eidus, because there's a Kavah Homer. Asya Eidus lo Kavah Homer me'isha. We learn this out from the Kavah Homer from a woman. Just like Uma Isha, she re'uya lava b'kal, a woman is perfectly permissible to marry a man in the Kahal of Klai Yisrael. That's a regular marriage. So women are eligible lava l'kahal, as opposed to whenever Kenani who's not. So women are eligible lava l'kahal, nevertheless, psula le'edus, but a woman, the Torah tells us that in the Raisa, is not capable of giving testimony. So certainly an Eved, she'ain a royal lava l'kahal, ain't a din she'pasul le'edus. So it's a Kavah Homer. You're right, if we just had the word Achiv, so then we would have allowed an Eved Kenani to give testimony. However, we learned now from Kavah Homer, a woman who is eligible, lovel l'kol, nevertheless the Torah says she can't give testimony. So an Eved, Kenani, who is also lovel l'kol, ain't a royal lovel l'kol, so certainly he shouldn't be able to go and give testimony. Where it says that's not such a great kavu chomer. We could knock up that kavu chomer. She shall get up. Mali Isha, a woman, while she is ruya l'kol, nevertheless, she can't ain't a ruya l'mila, but she isn't capable of having a bris mila. So Tomar b'Eved, can you therefore give this kavu chomer as opposed to an Eved, shu ruya l'mila? An Eved, if he's going to be a real Eved Kenani, so he has to undergo a bris mila. So therefore, you can't say because the Eved Kenani is not ruya l'kol, that's why he's a kavachomer from a woman who is real of all the cult. No, the Eved Kenani has something over the woman in the fact that the Eved Kenani is mitzuvah in the midst of Mila, and the woman is not. So therefore, you can't bring a kavachomer. Just like a woman can't give testimony, so too the Eved Kenani can't give testimony. Shmuel says, no, that we could slug up because katan yochiach, a child below the age of bar mitzvah, is mechuyev in bris mila, but is also not able to go and give testimony. So katan yochiach, sheyesh no b'mila, upasli edus. So the katan is also unable to go and give edus, even though he can have a bris mila, is mechuyev to have a bris mila. So obviously the bris mila can't be the critical factor, and therefore this will be the way that we prove that the Eved Kenani can't go and give testimony. Moses says, no, that's not a good answer either, because one could argue, Mala Katan She'eino B'mitzos. A Katan doesn't yet have any Chiyav B'mitzos, as opposed to Tomar B'Eved Kenani, and Eved Kenani Shehu B'mitzos. He's M'chuyav B'mitzos like an Isha plus Bris Mila. So therefore, that can't be the reason why we exclude through a Kal V'chomer and Eved Kenani, and therefore, it should be, according to the Rabbanan, that an Eved Kenani is Ochiv, and he should in fact be allowed to go and be testifying. He should be able to be an aid, but he's not. Are you going to tell me, well, the woman will prove the case, Isha Tochiach, because she is the mitzvah, she is Mukhuyevis and mitzvahs, and nevertheless, the psulul eidus? But no, but you have the katan. And this is what we call the classical Chazra din lo rizeh, kirizeh, the lo rizeh, kirizeh. So therefore, we go back and forth as to what's the common denominator. It can't be the fact that you're Mukhuyev and mitzvahs, because the katan is not Mukhuyev and mitzvahs. It can't be the fact that you're Mukhuyev and bris mila, because the woman is not Mukhuyevis and bris mila. So the Chazra din, it goes back and forth, lo rizeh, kirizeh, lo rizeh, kirizeh. Neither one of the characteristics that we said is the defining characteristic. What is the common denominator between the two of them, the woman and the child, that they're not able to go and give testimony? The common denominator is shekein einon b'chol ha-mitzos. They're not mechuyavos in all the mitzvahs. So a woman is not mechuyavos in the mitzvah of Mila, and the mitzvah seishas man groma, and the katan is not mechuyav in any mitzvahs, albeit the katan has to have a bris Mila. And nevertheless, both the katan and the women are not eligible to be witnesses. So too, afani obvious eved. So too, the eved is not able to go and give testimony. She'eino b'chol mitzvahs, because the eved also doesn't have all the mitzvahs. He doesn't have the mitzvahs to say, like the woman doesn't have the mitzvahs to say she's man groma. So therefore, he's posel yod. So we learn out that the eved, the kavachomer, is from a combination of both child and women. Where it says, no. One could argue that there's a different tzad hashava b'hem that actually would exclude the eved. Malat tzad hashava b'hem, the women and the child, shekein ein oish, neither of them is an adult man. Neither of them is a man. The woman is a woman, and the child is not yet considered an adult. Tomar b'eved. Can you say this about the eved? After all, the eved, shehu ish, he is a man. He is an adult man. So therefore, maybe he should be mechuyav in the concept of eidus. He could be able to be an eid. So where it says, you're right. If we only had that, you'd be right. But elotese mi gazlan. But we have another kavachomer to exclude an eved from being able to give testimony, because an adult male gazlan is also possibly eidus by the fact that he did his rishus of stealing. So he's possibly eidus. So just like the gazlan is not able to go and be a witness, so too the eved is not able to go be a witness, and therefore the eved is learned out from the gazlan. Where says, no, that's also not a good derivation, because the gazlan has something that the eved doesn't have. Mali gazlan shekein maisav garmlo. The reason why the gazlan can't give testimony is because he did something wrong. He was a gazlan. So his maisav, his actions, caused him to be possibly eidus. Now the eved, tomar be eved, he didn't do anything to make him possibly eidus. Shein maisav garmlo. So therefore the eved should still be considered achiv according to the Tanakhama, and therefore should be allowed to go and give testimony. So we can't learn out the eved alone from the women and the child through the tzad shavish behen, and we can't learn him out from the din of the gazlan. So the Gemara says, you're right, but combine those two. Elatese mi gazlan umichad mehanoch. Learn it out from gazlan and either the woman, or gazlan and the child. And therefore, those two, they'll have the Tzad HaShavah Shebehem is that they're not able to go get testimony, and it can't be from the fact that he's not an adult man, because the guy's an adult man. And it can't be because of the fact that the woman is not Mechuyeves in Bris Milah, because the Gazan is Mechuyeves in Bris Milah, or because the child is not Mechuyev Mitzvos, because the Gazan is Mechuyev Mitzvos. So therefore, Elotesi Megazlan Mechad Mehanach. So from the combination of the Tzad HaShavah of the Gazlan and either the woman or the child, so that's how we learn out, the Tzad HaShavah then is that they're not capable of giving testimony, so too the Eved Kenani is not capable of giving testimony, and that's how the Tanakhama would learn that out. Okay, that's one way to learn this out. Now we have another way. Mar Bere de Ravina, Mar, who's the son of Ravina, Omar, he said, it's a different pasuk. He says, Omar Kwa, the pasuk says, Lo Yumsu Avos Al Bonim, and then the rest of the pasuk says, Ubonim Lo Yumsu Al Avos Ish Becheto Yumas. Now, he darshens as follows. Mar Bere de Ravina says, Lo Yumsu Al Pi Avos She'en Lem Chayes Bonim. The pasuk tells us that you can't go and accept testimony from somebody who doesn't have a relationship to their children, a halachic relationship to their children. The Eved Kenani has no yichus. Any children that he has, while they may be his biological children, they are not halachically viewed as his children. And therefore, the pasuk says, Lo yumsu al pi avos, you can't go and put somebody to death. You can't go and accept the testimony of a father, she'en lehem chayus banim, that don't have a halachic connection to their children. They have a biological connection to their children. The DNA is connected to their children, but there is no halachic connection. The Eved Kenani doesn't have a halachic connection to his children. And therefore, these okadaitokidamin, and if you're going to tell me you should just read the words straight as they are, lo yumsu avos al banim, to teach me, be edus banim, that the fathers aren't going to be able to be killed by the testimony of a relative, i.e. of their children. So then, lichtov rachmonet in the Torah, if it just wanted to teach us that din and had nothing to do with the din of an Eved Kenani, so then the Torah should have said, lichtov rachmonet lo yumsu avos al b'nehem. The father can't be put to death on the testimony of his sons, his relatives. But it says banim in a more generic sense. My banim, why did the Torah use the Lashon instead of b'nehem? It said banim in general to teach us shma mina. Mar Berei de Ravina says to teach us the following halacha, shma mina, de lo yumsu al pi avos she'en lehem chayus banim, to teach us this din, that somebody that doesn't have a halachic connection to his children, i.e. an Eved Kenani, so that person cannot go and give testimony. Now Rashi, in Dibur HaMaskul, Ger Ein Luchias, so he brings down, the Afo Gav Dersiv Blodon Ben Blodon, so you see that by Goyim there is a father and a son, Hani Mili Bigiusen, that's when they're Goyim. Avo Nizgairu, when there is a change in their relationship, they have a Geris, and Eved Kenani is no longer a full-fledged guy, and certainly a Geris is not a guy, so Habonim Lo Nisyachsu Acharvim, their children don't follow after them. And that's the Gemara in Yevamos. In any event, this is Mar Berei de Ravina's drasha from the fact that it says, instead of the word b'nehem, it says the word banim. Lo yumsu avos al banim comes to teach us to include, and Eved Kenani is not allowed to give edus. More questions this, and says, however, Eloheyata, if you keep on reading the pasuk, it says, ubanim lo yumsu al avos. The rest of the pasuk says that children shall not be put to death because of their father's testimony. So in this situation, hochanami, lo yumsu al pibanim shein lim chayis avos. Does this mean that you can't go and accept the testimony of somebody that doesn't have a halachic father? So that would mean a ger. The person who's this guy here, he's kikotin shenol adami, and therefore has no halachic connection to his biological father. So you're telling me that a ger then can't give testimony? That's not true. El a ger, hochanami the posel liedus? Are you telling me that a ger is posel liedus? No, a ger is absolutely kosher liedus. So how do you darshan the second part of the pasuk? When it says amre, you have to answer it as follows. Hochi hashta, is your comparison good? A ger, while he doesn't have a father, he does have a son. Ger, nihi de'ein lo chayis lamala, lamati yesh lo chayis. While the ger has no connection to his biological father, ger is kikot in shenol adami, but if the ger has children, so those children are his halachic children, not only his biological children, but they halachically follow him. So a ger, while he doesn't have chayis lamala, he doesn't have a halachic relationship to his father, lamati yesh lo chayis, he has a halachic relationship to his children. As opposed to Lafuki Eved, the Enlo Chayis Olamala Olamata, and Eved doesn't go up or down in terms of his genealogy. He doesn't follow his father, and his children don't follow him. And I'll show you that this is correct. The Gemara says because the Isol Kedai Toch Ger Pasul Liedus, If you want to carry this through and say, no, maybe a ger should be possibly eidus, so then you know what the Torah should have said? Lichtov rachmana lo yumsu avos al b'neihem lichidamrina. Then we should have specifically used the lashon of al b'neihem instead of lo yumsu avos al banim. We should have used a specific term, b'neihem, and lo yumsu b'eidus banim, and that would teach us that you can't put to death the father based upon the testimony of his sons. And it should have said, v'nichtav rechmanu ubanim lo yumsu al avos, and then, this shamas minei trei, when it uses the lashon ubanim lo yumsu al avos, so when it tells us that, Shamas Meitre, I would have said you can learn two things. Number one, Chada lo yum subanim b'edus avos, that the children can't be put to death by the testimony of their fathers, of their relatives. The idach, and the second part of the pasuk, lo yum su api banim she'en lehem chiyas avos, and they likewise can't be put to death on the testimony of children who have no halachic relationship to their father, i.e. a ger. The eved nafkalei b'kavachomim b'ger, and an eved would be learned out from a ger. If a ger can't give testimony, and the ger has a relationship with his children, but doesn't have a relationship with the father, so certainly the Eved Kenani that doesn't have a relationship with either one can't give. As the Gemara says, Uma ger delamalu hu dein lo chayis, the ger doesn't have a relationship with his biological father, nevertheless, avalamato yesh lo chayis, but he has a halachic relationship with his children, nevertheless, if you darshan what you did, he would be possibly eidus. So therefore, we could learn out from a Kavu Chomer, Eved Shein Lochayis Olamal Olamata Inodin Shein Possibly Eidus. So certainly, the Eved Kenani, who has no relationship either up or down, certainly should be possibly Eidus. No, that's not what the Torah wrote. Ella Midikasa Rachmana Lo Yumsu Avos Albanim. It didn't say Bnei'hem. It said Albanim. So then, the Mashba Lo Yumsu Api Avos Shein Lochayis Banim. You can't go put to death by the testimony of an Eved Kenani who has no halachic relationship to his sons, and that's only specifically for an Eved Kenani, not a ger. So therefore, Shema Mina, we can see from here, Eved Shein Lo Chayis Lo Lamalo Lo Mato, who the puzzle is? It's only the Eved Kenani that has no relationship up or down that this applies to. Avol ger, kiven the Eish Lo Chayis Lo Mato, kosher liedus. Therefore, the aid can be a ger, but the aid cannot be an Eved Kenani. For the fact that the Torah didn't use the lashon lo yumsu avos al b'neihem, but it specifically said lo yumsu avos al banim, so that teaches us his din. No, so why did in the second part of the pasuk it says ubanim lo yumsu al avos, why they continued to tell us the din of avos? It could have said lo yumsu banim al avihen. V'chitema, lichtav rabbanu ubanim lo yumsu al avoseihem. He could have said that in the second part of the pasuk. Lomeli dekasa rechmanu vanim lo yumsu al avos. Why did that have to keep the lashon of avos over here? That's just for parallelism. The mashma lo yumsu api banim shein lehem chayitz avos. You might have said if it keeps it this way, it should exclude the ger. So the Gemara says no. I did the kasa lo yumsu avos abanim kasa of nami ubanim lo yumsu al avos. So that's just for parallelism. But in fact, in the second part, it could have said specifically lo yumsu al avoseihem, because there wouldn't have been any drush over here from the word avos rather than avoseihem. It just kept it for parallelism using the lashon of avos, and therefore the bottom line is this drush of mar by Ravina is coming to teach us that an eved kenani is posel liedus, but a ger is kosher liedus. I know that was a little bit complicated, but Baruch Hashem, let's go right. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Cheirish shote v'koton piyosin ra. It's never good to be involved in litigation with a cheirish, which means a person who is unable to hear or speak. He's not considered a bardas. A shote, a person who's mentally incompetent. They're psychotic, and they're not considered a bardas. And a koton, who by definition is not considered a bardas. So you're never going to do well with them, because you're going to have to go pay them for any damages that you do to them, but they're not going to have to pay you for any damages that they do to you. And now the Gemara tells us a halachic, very important aside that is going to spend the rest of the shir on today, and even going into tomorrow's shir. Now, there are going to be a number of Rabbi Abbas over here, all unrelated and all not the same person. So I'm going to mention the names of the people who are the sons of Rabbi Abba or Rabbi Abba, but the only time I'm going to continue using the name of Rabbi Abba is when I'm dealing with Rabbi Abba himself, but not the children of this Abba or Rabbi Abba. So you'll see what I mean in a second. I don't want to get people confused, if I haven't already confused you already. Now, Ime de Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, the mother of Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Her first husband was Abba. Her second husband is also going to be Rav Abba. So that's why it could be confusing. So the mother of this Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, and that's the last time I'll say that he's Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, unless the Gemara actually says so, but I'll always refer to him as Rav Shmuel, so not to confuse people. So the mother of this Rav Shmuel, who came from Mehagrunya, Hava Nisiva Le Rabbi Abba. She married a second husband whose name was also Rabbi Abba. So her first husband's name was Abba, and her second husband's name is Rabbi Abba. This Rabbi Abba is not the biological father of Rav Shmuel. That's important to know. So, what happened? She didn't want her son to lose all of her property that she brought into this marriage with her second husband, Rabbi Abba. She wanted her son Shmuel, Rav Shmuel, to go and get her Nichsei Malug and inherit it. Meanwhile, her husband is entitled to the usufruction, entitled to the usage of the properties that she's bringing in as Nichsei Malug. So she can't take that away from him because she already married him. And only after she married him did she decide that she wanted to give all of her properties to her son, Rav Shmuel. So if she had done this before she married her new husband, Rabbi Abba, no problem. But she now is doing this after she marries Rabbi Abba. So again, the mother of this Rav Shmuel married her second husband, Rabbi Abba, and she gave him all of her nichsei malug in the marriage. And then she decided she wished to go and give her son, Rav Shmuel, all of this nichsei malug. But it belongs right now, the rights to use this fruit belongs to her new husband, Rabbi Abba. So she goes and kesvisinhu l'nichsei l'Rav Shmuel bar Abba b'ruah. And she goes and writes over all of her property to her son, Rav Shmuel, who was the son of her first husband, Abba. And she writes over all of her properties, which she owns. The Nichsei Malug, she owns. It's only the usufruction rights, the rights to what we call the peiros, that her new husband, Rabbi Abba, has, because she brought this Nichsei Malug into the marriage. And now, after she's already married, she writes over the actual ownership of these properties to her son, Rav Shmuel. And then she eventually passes away. The mother of Rav Shmuel, the wife of Rabbi Abba, passes away. Now, Basar Deshriva, after she passes away, Rav Shmuel, and we turn to Peches Omid Beis, wants to go take these Nechsei Malug, which under normal circumstances, the husband would inherit his wife. If the wife dies first, the husband normally inherits these Nechsei Malug, but he had been given them while his mother was still alive, so Ozal Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, this Rav Shmuel, her son, goes, Kamei the Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba. We have another Abba over here, a totally different person, and we'll call him Rav Yirmiya. We won't keep on mentioning that he's Bar Abba. And he goes to have this case adjudicated in front of Rabbi Yirmiya. So Rav Shmuel goes to Rabbi Yirmiya to adjudicate who gets this Nichsei Malug from his mother. Does he get it, or does his stepfather, Rabbi Abba, get it? And Rav Yirmiya paskind okmei b'nichsei. He paskind that, in fact, Rav Shmuel is entitled to get this nichsei malug that his mother had given to him after she was already married. So the husband had the rights of usufruction, the husband has the rights to what we call the peiros, but the son is going to be entitled to the guf, the actual properties, because his mother had the halachic right, Rav Yirmiya paskin, to give them to her son, Rav Shmuel, during her lifetime. Okay? It's a complicated case. I hope everybody got it. Now, Ozal Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba was upset that he didn't get the Nichsei Malug. So he went, Amro Lemilsa Kamei the Rav Oshaya. So he said, hey, look what Rav Yirmiya did. I don't get it. How did Rav Yirmiya paskin that my stepson, Rav Shmuel, should go get the Nichsei Malug and not me? I'm the husband. I should have inherited it. And she didn't have the right to go and give it to her son after I was already married to her. So this is what he tells Rav Oshaya. Rav Oshaya goes, Azar Rav Oshaya, Amro Kamei the Rav Yehuda. So Rav Oshaya goes to Rav Yehuda and says, look what Rav Yirmiya did. And Amar Le, Rav Yehuda says, Hachiyam Shmuel, this is the way Shmuel paskin. Ha'isha shemachwa b'nichsei malug b'chayi bala u'meisa ha'bal motzi miyara l'kuchos. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that if a woman is married, and after she's already married, so she owns the nichsei malug, albeit the husband has the right to use the fruits, and if the husband were to divorce her, or the husband were to die, she would again have the Nichsei Malug as her property. So if during the marriage, Shmuel said, if she sells her Nichsei Malug in the lifetime of her husband, and then she dies, The husband owns it, and the husband has the right to even go and take it, habal motzi miyad alekuchos, from anybody that she in fact sold it to. They never really acquired it because the husband had the rights to the usufruction. The husband had the rights to the payros during her lifetime anyway, because he married to her, and that was part of the deal of the marriage. But even after the marriage is over, because she died, even though she sold it during her lifetime, the husband gets to retain it. In other words, Shmuel is passing that in this situation, Rabbi Abba should have gotten the Nichsei Melug and not the son, Rav Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, says that Rav Yirmiya paskined incorrectly. No, what does Rav Yirmiya say about that? Amrua kameh, the Rav Yirmiya bar Abba. So they went to Rav Yirmiya and said, look what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. He said, you paskined wrong. So Rav Yirmiya responds and he says, Amaluhu, he says to everybody, Ana masnisi yadana. Listen, Shmuel's a very, very great Amora, but I got a Mishnah in my pocket. And the Mishnah disagrees with Shmuel, so therefore I'm right. Shmuel's a very great Amora, but I have a Mishnah, a Tana, that agrees with what I did. That's not. And this is a Mishnah above a Basra. And the Mishnah above a Basra tells us, Hakosev nechos livno li'acha moso. If a father writes over the properties that he has to his son, and he says that he should acquire them now and after his death, that's what it means, so he would acquire them right now, but the father wants to retain the rights to use them. So the father is willing to give the property to this son, as opposed to somebody else, other sons, but the father still wants to use the payros. He wants to have the payros. So he says, I'm giving you over this property, which I own, the goof of the property, I'm giving it over to you, but I retain the rights to have the payros. So he gives over the property to his son, but that kinyan takes effect now and after his death. But the father retains the rights to the kinyan payros, to use the payros, the usufruction rights. So habein ein yochol limkor mipnei shem b'shusarah ha'av. So the son can't go and sell those properties during the lifetime of the father that the person should get it, because it still belongs to the father in terms of the usufruction rights. So habein ein yochol limkor mipnei shem b'shusarah. He can't actually sell it to somebody that other person should take it, because the father has the rights to the payros. And va'av ein yochol limkor mipnei shem k'suvim lebein. And the father can't sell anything other than the usufruction rights. He can't sell the property to somebody else. He could sell the payros rights to somebody else, because the property, the guf, belongs to the son. So in this situation, each of them only owns half of it. The son owns the guf, but doesn't have the right to the payros. The father has given over the guf to the son, but retains the rights to the payros. So in this situation, mochar ha'av, if the father did sell the property to somebody, he sells it to Yanko, so Yanko gets to eat the payros until the father dies. Mechurim ad sheyamus. And in fact, mochar ha'bein, if the bein sold the property, ein lo lalokeach, the person that the son sold it to, has no rights in the property ad sheyamus av, until the father dies. At the point that the father dies, the son then gets it retroactively, but he sold it to the lekuchos, so the lekuchos only get it at that point in time. That is what the Mishnah in Bava Basra says. Now, let's understand this Mishnah. Rav Yirmiya says, this is why I paskin that Rav Shmuel should get the nichsei melug and not the husband, because ki mayis of Mia, when the father does in fact die over here, is lelokeach. At this point in time, since the son had sold it, so the son can't sell the rights to the payros. The father had that, but the son didn't have the ability to sell the rights to the guf. And that will go into effect the moment the father dies. So is lelokeach, the lokeach now acquires the full property, the guf, as well as the payros, the minute the father dies. And this is true, the afagav, the meisabein b'chayav. And this would be true even if, rachmana l'tzlan, the son died, he predeceased the father. But since that sale is allowed to take effect, albeit it only goes fully into effect upon the death of the father, so Rav Yirmiya says, the Mishnah is teaching us that even though the son died before the father died, nevertheless, that sale goes through, because the lo osu lidi abein, even though it never came into the possession of the son, but the son had the right to sell it. And certainly, if the son is still alive, it would go immediately to the lekuchos, the ones that the son sold it to. Now, This is all based upon a very famous machlokis between Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon and Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan. And in general, in Shas, Rashi reminds us that in all places in Shas, when we have a machlokis, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, we pass Rabbi Yochanan with three exceptions. Rashi gives us the three exceptions, and he tells us that this is one of the three exceptions. Rashi lists the other two exceptions as well, which we're not going to go into detail. Acholis Liberis of Masa B'Emsa. We won't explain them right now. Too much of a shir already. And the third one is our machlokis here between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. And that is, do we consider Kinyan HaPeros Kinyan HaGufdomi or not? Do we say that the rights of usufruction, the right to use the fruits, establishes real ownership or no? The guf is the real ownership, and kinyan haperos lav kikinyan haguf dami. And this machlokis between Reish Shimon and Lakish goes as follows. And we're saying that everybody here holds like Reish Lakish, because that's how we paskin. So, ki Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, that Rav Yehuda ben Abba says that I hold like Reish Lakish, as does everybody else. And Rav Yehuda is going to also have to hold like that, because that's how we paskin. So, in what way do we hold like Reish Lakish? The Omar, Reish Lakish says, it doesn't make any difference over here whether the son predeceased the father or the father died first. It doesn't make a difference if the son died predeceased the father, and certainly if the father died first, the halacha is the same. That the property never actually came into the son's possession because he died before he actually got it, because he died before the father died. And it certainly doesn't make any difference if the father died first and the son does get the property, it goes to the lukuchos, the osu lidei rabein. In this situation where the father died first, it did come into the possession of the son, but it makes no difference. Kana lokeach, since the son, according to Reish Lakish, had the right to sell it, because he owns the kinyan haguf. And that's the critical thing. The kinyan peiros, according to Reish Lakish, is lav ki kinyan haguf dami. That's not the critical factor, who gets to eat the fruits. The critical factor is who owns title, who owns the property. Kinyan haguf is king. And therefore, in this situation, the father gave it to the son, me'achshav uliachamoso. So the son is the owner of the property. He owns the kinyan haguf. And therefore, whether he dies before the father, he dies after the father, he has the right to sell the guf. And that sale will take effect upon the death of the father. Kana lokeach. Now, let's see this more inside. I just said it outside. Now we'll see it inside. The itmar. If the son sold the property while the father was alive, and then the son dies while the father is still alive, so Rav Yochanan says, no, that sale is not a good sale anymore. Rav Yochanan Amar, lo kono lokeach. Since the son never acquired it, so Rav Yochanan holds, kinyan peiros kinyan haguf dami, that the father's right of usufruction means that he's the owner. And Rav Yochanan says, therefore, since the son never actually acquired the guf because he predeceased the father, so then the son cannot go and sell it to the lekuchos if the son dies first, and therefore the lekuchos won't get it. So Rav Yochanan Mar, lo kana lokeach, whereas Reish Lakish says, kinyan haguf is critical, not the kinyan peiros. And Reish Lakish Amar, kana lokeach. So Reish Lakish says, in this situation, the lokeach is the one that gets it because the son owned it. And even if the son predeceases the father, that sale is a valid sale when the father dies. Now, let's see the more inside. Rav Yochanan Amar, lo kana lokeach. Rav Yochanan says that the lokeach doesn't get it if the son dies first, because Amar Lach, Rav Yochanan would say, Kikitani Masnisu, when the Mishnah tells us that Ein lo lokeach ach yomus ha'av, that the lokeach doesn't get it until the father dies, that's only in a situation where the father dies before the son. Machar Ben lo kana lokeach ach yomus aviv, then the chimayis av is le lokeach. If the father dies first, so then the son now gets it, and now that sale goes through. However, the lo meis ha'ben b'chaya av, that's because the son did not die during the lifetime of the father. The osuli de abein, and therefore the property comes to him. And that's why Rav Yochanan would agree in that situation where the father dies first, that the son's sale is good. However, avomeis habein b'chayav, if the son predeceased the father, so then the lo osuli de abein, it never came into his possession. And therefore now, ki ma'isi av, when the father dies, nami les leilokeach, the lokeach doesn't get it because it never came into the possession of the son. And therefore, we see that Rav Yochanan's opinion is Amo Kosavar Kinyan Peros Kinyan Aguv Domi. That's because the father's rights of usufruction trump the potential rights of the son in Kinyan Aguv. The son never got the Kinyan Aguv, and therefore, the only thing we look at is Kinyan Peros. And Rav Yochanan holds Kinyan Peros Kinyan Aguv Domi, and therefore, Vachi Zavin, when the son sold it, it wasn't yet his to sell. Ladi De Zavin, and therefore, if he predeceases the father, that sale never goes through. That's Rav Yochanan Shita. We do not paskin like that. Reish Lakish holds as follows. No, the sale goes through because even if the son predeceases the father, he owns it. The Kinyan Guf is the critical thing. And when the Mishnah says, Kikitani Mastisin, Mach Rabbein, Ein Lokeach, Achiyob, Sa'ab, when the Mishnah had said that the Lokeach doesn't get it until the father dies, it makes no difference whether the son predeceases the father or not. Ki Mayis of, when the father dies, Mias is Leil Lokeach. The Lokeach gets it. And this is true no matter what. Lo Shna, it doesn't make any difference. Lo Meis HaBein B'chayav, if the son didn't die during the father, then even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the sale is a sale. The also did the bank because it came into the possession of the son. But even, Reish Lakish says, Lo Shna Meis HaBein B'chayav, even if the son predeceases the father, the lo asuli de debain, it never physically came into his possession because he died before his father did. But nevertheless, he was given that. And therefore, once the father dies, that sale of the son, while the son was alive, that sale is a valid sale. Kana lokeach. It will only go into effect when the father dies. So, what do you see? Reish Lakish holds, Amo kesava, kinyan peros, lav kinyan aguf dami. Reish Lakish holds that the fact that the father owns the fruits, he gets the rights to eat the fruits, that is nothing in terms of ownership of the property. Kinyan peros, lav kinyan aguf dami. And therefore, the ki kozavin, when the son sold the guf, even though he didn't possess it at that point in time, he does own it. And the day kozavin, he's selling what he owns, and therefore, it will go into effect the minute the father dies, even though the son is already dead, and certainly if the son is not dead. And now, the Gemara gives the coup de grace that Rav Yirmiyah says, look and see that I'm right. V'anan hashta, now, I hold, and so does Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Bein Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba, I, Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba, Ubein Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, we all agree, we pass it like Reish Lakish, Rav Shimon Lakish Svirulu. And therefore, everybody should agree, including Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that in my case, that Rav Shmuel, the son, the mother gave him the nichsim aluk during her lifetime. She owned the kinyan aguf, and she therefore has the right to sell the kinyan aguf. And even if she predeceases her husband, Rabbi Abba, nevertheless, Rav Shmuel should get the property. Exactly analogous to this case in the Mishnah of Baba Basra, and Rav Yirmiyah says, that's why I passed like I did, and Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is wrong. If you paskit the kinyan peros is a kinyan duf dami, so kimayis of umayis habein b'chayav. So then, when the father dies and the son died during the lifetime of the father, amayis leil lokeach. So then, why would the lokeach get anything? Ki kozavin hai lavdi de kozavin. In that situation, if the son was selling it, it wasn't his yet. If you hold like you. However, elalav shmami no kinyan peros lav ki kinyan aduv dami. You see, from this mission of Baba Basra, exactly like Reish Lakish, exactly like me, Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba says, and Rav Shmuel should get it, and not Rabbi Abba the husband, and you, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, are wrong. No, that's what Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba said. Adrul kamei Rav Yehuda. They went and brought back this svara to Rav Yehuda, who said over the name of Shmuel that, in fact, Rabbi Abba should get the nisei melug and not the son Rav Shmuel. And Amalu, he said, no. Hachi Amar Shmuel, Shmuel disagrees with you, Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba. Hachi Amar Shmuel, Zu Ein Adome L'Mishnasenu. That Mishnah in Bava Basra is not analogous to the case of Rav Shmuel and his stepfather, Rabbi Abba. Why not? My time sounded pretty good when Rav Yirmiyah taught it to us. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef explains as follows. Bishlomo Itani Ivcha, if the Mishnah in Bava Basra had taught it the other way around, Hakosev Nechosev Li'oviv, if somebody wrote over his property to his father, not that the father wrote over the property to the son, but the son wrote over the property to the father, so then, Iko L'mivshat Minah, then you could learn from there, the Kinyan Peres Lach Kinyan Guf Domi, then you could learn that that Mishnah holds like Reish Lakish over Rav Yochanan. Because right now we're working with the idea that normally a father doesn't inherit a son. Elo, Hashta, since the Mishnah of Bava Basra specifically gave the case that Tani Akosev Nechosilu, no, the father gave over the property to his son, who normally inherits the father, Mishum Deraili Yarshu. That's maybe why the son is able to go and sell it, and the sale will be true. Because the son would get it eventually anyway. But the other way around, Rav Yosef says the father wouldn't automatically get it. And that's why, if it wanted to teach us the case that Kinyan HaPeres lav Kinyan HaGufta, I mean, it should have given us the case of the son giving the rights to the father. But it gave us the case of the father giving the rights to the son. You can't learn out Kinyan HaPeres lav Kinyan HaGufta. Abai says, no, that's wrong. Rav Yosef is wrong. Amar Abai, Abai says to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, Atu bra yaris abba, abba lo yaris bra? What are you talking about? A son inherits a father, but a father doesn't inherit a son. Father also inherits the son under certain circumstances. Elo liavruchinu lenifse mibrei kaasi. If you're saying the case had been that the son had given the rights to the father, it's because he didn't want it to go to his own son. Levruchinu nifse mibrei kaasi. And therefore, hochanami levruchinu lenifse meachoyasi. So it's no different than the case when the father gave it to this son. He didn't want a different son to go and get it. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, your understanding of that case in Bava Basra is incorrect. And in fact, it is a very good raya that that case in Bava Basra goes exactly like Rav Yirmiyah said. And we can, in fact, bring a raya to Reish Lakish that the king in Peros lav kikinin a guftami. And Rav Yirmiyah is right. And how does Shmuel learn it in that situation? Shmuel says, no. Elohamai ain't the domain. She's saying, why do you view the same name of Shmuel that the case in Bava Basra is different than the case that we have with Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Abba, his stepfather? Elamai eino domo l'mishnah seinu mishum takanas Usha. That's because of the famous takan of Usha. Usha was one of the places where the Sanhedrin was. It actually was in Usha twice. The Sanhedrin left Yerushalayim from the Lishkas Hagazus and made 10 stops before the Sanhedrin was eventually disbanded. And in Usha, when the Sanhedrin was in Usha, one of the times they made the famous takanas Usha as follows: mishum takanas Usha, the Omer of Yosi bar Chanina, Usha Skinu. Rav Yosi bar Chanina said that when the Sanhedrin was in Usha, they made the following takana: Isha shemochra b'nichsei melug b'chayei bala umesa. Exactly our case, where a woman was married to her husband, and the husband has the rights of usufruction to those fruits, but the woman retains a kinyan haguf. And under normal circumstances, the Mishnah Bava Basra would tell us she has the right to sell them, but they made a takana in Usha, and that's where Rav Yehuda Mishmuel says that Rav Yirmiyah was wrong. For Isha shemochra b'nichsei melug b'chayei bala umesa. Because they wanted to endear the husband and wife relationship, and therefore they said if the husband knows that his wife can go sell the nitzim and look, it's going to bring kitat, it's going to bring fighting between them. So therefore they were masakin that the woman can sell her nitzim and look. Her husband retains the right to them, and then if the woman predeceases the husband will inherit them. If nebuch, the husband passes first, so then the woman will retain the rights to her nitzim and look. But this was a special takan in Usha, and therefore Rav Yirmiyah passed it incorrectly based upon the Takanas Usha. He shouldn't have given the properties to Rav Shmuel, the son, but he should have given the properties to Rabbi Abba, her second husband. And the Gemara goes further and says, Amar Vidi Bar Oven, Afana Namitnina. We have a Braisa that shows us that this is correct. What is the Braisa? The Braisa says, Mi'idim Anu Bi'ish Ploni. If witnesses come along and say that we testify about such and such a person, Shegiresh Es Ishto, that he divorced his wife, V'nosan Ksubasa, and he in fact gave her her Ksuba. She collected her Ksuba and returned to pay Tesamut Aleph. However, this woman is living still with this man, that V'arehi Tachtov Umisham Shaso. She's living with him as a husband and wife live together. And then it turns out that those two witnesses that say that the man divorced his wife and gave her the ksuba, they're found out to be zomimim. The names are zomimim. So these two witnesses had said that this man had divorced his wife in New York at 10 o'clock on Sunday. And then it turns out that the witnesses come along and say, how could you say that you were in New York at 10 o'clock on that Sunday and you saw the divorce? You were with us in Philadelphia at 10 o'clock on that Sunday. The names were Zomimim. Again, the Xeris HaKosov, we believe the second pair, and the first pair was found to be Adam Zomimim, and they had to do Kasher Zomim Lassos. So they tried to cause this woman to lose her ksuba. Nimsu Zomim, they're found to be Zomim, so they should have to pay her the Ksuba, but they don't pay the full price of the Ksuba. Ein Omim Yishalmu Kol Ksubasa. They don't make them pay the full price of the Ksuba, because after all, maybe the woman will never collect the Ksuba. Maybe, in fact, she'll die before her husband, and then she would collect nothing. And here's the proof. If she wished to go and sell the property, she can't go and sell the property because of takanas usha. So here's the raya to takanas usha. So all the zomim have to pay over here is they only have to pay elatovas hanoas subasa. They only have to pay her the benefit of the limited rights that she has in the ksuba, which we'll see. The word tovas hanoa is used elsewhere to allow the person who, let's say, has to give trumas and meiser, has to give any of the matnas kuna, to give it to the kohen that he wants. So he doesn't own that property. It belongs to the kohen, but it belongs to whichever kohen he chooses to give it to. And that's called tovas hanoa. So, for example, if a man has a daughter and that daughter marries a kohen, and therefore he has a grandson who's a kohen, so he would want his grandson to go and get his trumas and meiser. So that tovas hanoa, the right to give it over to his grandson. So he may go over to somebody else and say, listen, I'll pay you $10. Go give the truma to my grandson. So that's called tovas hanoa. So similarly over here, all the woman has, she can't sell her nifse malug because takanas usha. But there is this concept of tovas hanoa. Let's say, in fact, her husband dies first. So then she can sell the nifse malug and it will go to the person because then it really belongs to her. If she predeceases her husband, then that sale is not a valid sale because of takanas usha. So that's the only right that she has. Maybe her husband will die before her and then she'll really own her nechse malug. So that sale is only for the possibility that her husband will divorce her or die first and she'll get her nechse malug. And now that she's selling it at a discounted price because the person who buys it knows he may never get it. That's called tovas hanoa over here. And that's all the Edim Zomimim would have to pay. Elotovas and Oksubasa. And what is that? As I just told you, Ezatovas and Oksubasa. Omdim, you go and evaluate it and estimate, Kama Adam Rotsa Litein Biksuba Shalzu. How much would a person be willing to buy her Nirse Malug? Because after all, he may never collect it. Shem Nis Armelo Niskarsha. If she in fact becomes a widow, her husband predeceases her, or he divorces her, so then the Nirse Malug are hers and she has a right to sell them. However, via Mesa, but if she predeceases her husband, so you're a Shenabala, then the guy will get nothing. So it's buying it on a chance. It's buying it on the possibility that you'll get it. So you pay a lower price for it because there's a possibility you won't get it. So the field's worth $1,000. So how much would a person be willing to buy it knowing that there's a 50% chance that he'll get it, 50% chance he won't get it? So maybe he'll pay $500 for it. Maybe he'll pay $200 for it. That's a tovas hanoa, and that's all the Edom's only have to pay, and that's because of takanas usha, and that's what the Gemara now tells us. If you're telling me there is no takanas usha, so then she can actually go and sell it. So am I Yerushena Bala? So what are you telling me? Her husband would inherit it. Tis bin Ksubasa Lagarmi. She could sell it right now, and therefore the Edom's only should have to pay the full amount. So let us bring a raya from here that, in fact, there is a takanas usha. But Abai says, no, I'm Abaya. Im Amru Benichse Melog. That which they said is about Nirse Melog. Yomru Benichse Tzom Barzel. This is talking also about Tzom Barzel, which definitely belongs to the husband. It no longer belongs to the wife. If the husband, in fact, divorces her, so he has to go and pay her exactly what that amount is worth. But that doesn't belong to the wife. So therefore, in that situation, this Takanas Usha was only in regards to Nirse Melog. And therefore, you can't bring a Sarai over here in regards to Takanas Usha, because there's also Nirsei Tzom Barzel that's involved over here, and that would not be included in Takanas Usha. The Nirsei Tzom Barzel, he definitely would have to go and give her no matter what. That is, that's why it's called Tzom Barzel. It's iron sheep, because the husband has to pay for them no matter how much they go up or down in price. If they die, if they go up a lot in value, if they go down in value, the husband pays with a set amount that it was felt to be worth at the time of the marriage. So therefore, Abai says you can't bring a saraya, as Ravidi Bar Oven tried to do, that this is a raya to Takanas Usha. This is a good break point over here. With this, we conclude today's shir. I know it was a very tough shir. I hope people were able to follow it. Listen to it a second time if you have to, and try to figure out if you weren't catching it the first time.